Alan Wallace refocused the discussion by coming back to the major theme of our meeting, destructive emotions, and drawing a stark contrast between the Buddhist and the scientific positions. We started off by seeing quite an important and fundamental difference between the Buddhist perspective and the notion from the scientific perspective that all of our emotions have a role. For science, all emotions are okay. In Buddhism, we want to completely eradicate all mental afflictions from the root so they never come back. The idea is that, in principle, they are never really appropriate, and even a small amount is still a small amount of a disease or a poison. He went on to note the differences between Western and Buddhist views of normality. For the West, normality is the goal, while in Buddhism, it is but the starting place. Alan continued, "So it seems like a big difference until you look closer. Drawing from Paul Ekman's report especially, a couple of factors stand out. First, when anger arises, it biases our perception and cognition, and there is a refractory period during anger when you don't even have access to your own intelligence. Similarly, in Buddhism, anger is by definition an afflictive mental state that derives from delusion and always distorts one's cognition of reality. This raises a very interesting research point that Richie and I have talked about, whether it is possible for an emotion to arise that looks a lot like anger, but has little or no refractory period and little or no bias of perception and cognition." At a higher level of spiritual attainment, Alan said, "You may feel some strong energy when you see injustice, but it would be less and less a mental affliction. So here's the real question. If anger can be constructive, wouldn't it be more and more constructive if it were less and less delusional?" I think Alan is raising an incredibly important challenge to our Western scientific study of emotion, Richie said, taking up the discussion. I don't think science has really grappled at all with the idea that there may be more wholesome elements of negative emotion that can be preserved. Using anger as an example, there may be a kind of compassionate wrath, a forceful compassion that retains some of the qualities of anger but doesn't have the biasing or delusional component. The Dalai Lama nodded in agreement. Paul responded, "We have also learned ways of acting when we are angry. I believe that what nature gives us is not necessarily the impulse to attack the person, but to deal with the obstacle. But in the course of growing up and observing others, our experience may be just the opposite. We may learn that when angry, we don't deal with the obstacle, but instead we deal in a hurtful fashion with the person who is causing the obstacle." Owen spoke. Returning to Francisco's discussion, this is where phenomenology plays a very important role. I was thinking, for example, about a time when my beloved son Ben was a very small boy and ran out into the road in front of our house. I remember being primarily scared to death, but then I tried to scare him to death. I didn't know quite what other means to use. I couldn't use rational discussion at that time. This is an example of behaving in a particular case in a way that I wouldn't want to behave towards someone who I could talk to rationally. If I were to re-examine my own phenomenology, I might say that it was mostly a fear response with some anger thrown in. But with help from meditative traditions such as Tibetan Buddhism, we may find more fine-grained ways of describing mental states.